Good evening. I'm Sam Friedman with the KUAC News Minor Update. The Copper River dip net fishery is reopening after being shut down for more than a month. A dismal early wild sockeye return, which threatened escapement goals, is rebounding, according to Glen Allen area state biologist Mark Somerville.
We're monitoring hatchery component and overall escapement here to see if we can keep the fishery open, and obviously it looks like right now we can. We've opened up the personal use fishery for 84-hour period here, starting Thursday at noon through Sunday.
Somerville says sport fishing is also reopening with a Friday start date. With ensuring escapement in mind, he says managers are working to determine the number of hatchery versus wild sockeye stocks moving upriver.
Trying to figure out whether or not we're going to reach that wild stock escapement goal. It's not like, you know, the different fish come up in different colors or anything like that. They all look the same.
Somerville says historic return timing and genetic analysis help biologists sort the returning stocks, noting that hatchery fish are internally marked.
Hatchery operator puts their outgoing fry into a strontium bath for about 24 hours. Strontium is a salt, and they incorporate that strontium into the bone structure of their otoliths, which people refer to as ear bones, but it's a bone that we look at for aging. And then when those fish return, those otoliths are taken out, they're sectioned, they're polished, they're coated, and then the department sends them to the University of Alaska Fairbanks to look at them under an electron microscope, and when they use a fluorescent light, the strontium actually shows a green band, and so we can tell if that fish came from the hatchery or is a natural fish.
Somerville says biologists are also trying to understand why the early part of this year's run was so weak. He says it may be due to poor ocean survival, but could also reflect its 2013 parent stock, which was heavily harvested in the commercial fishery during the early part of that year's run.
We tended to pass early fish at a lower level than we did the later fish, and we could be seeing a result of that as well this year.
For dip netters planning to fish this week's dip net opening, Somerville notes that the Copper River has been running high and fast, conditions that slow fish movement upriver and make boating and dip netting challenging. Somerville says cloudy, cooler weather the early part of this week should ease the situation. A 31-year-old Fairbanks man was given a 60-year sentence Monday for assaulting a woman and leaving her to die in the snow near the Chena River in North Pole in 2014. Last summer, a Fairbanks jury convicted Zachary Wisenhunt of second-degree murder and evidence tampering in the death of 34-year-old Janessa Kimsky. Jurors acquitted him on a first-degree murder charge. At Monday's sentencing, Superior Court Judge Douglas Blankenship chose the 60-year sentence. Assistant District Attorney Elizabeth Crail had recommended a 90-year sentence, and Wisenhunt's attorney Emily Cooper had asked for a sentence closer to 30 years. Kimsky's mother, sister, and aunt all addressed the court at the sentencing. They spoke with frustration about wanting to try to forgive Wisenhunt, but being unable to because he has not taken responsibility for the crime. Wisenhunt is in the process of appealing his conviction. He said Monday he can't apologize because he didn't commit the crime. A power failure caused service outages for GCI customers across the state yesterday. A GCI statement says the problem was traced to the municipal light and power transformer near GCI's Anchorage headquarters. GCI spokesperson Heather Handyside tells radio station KMXT that the outage, which began between 4:30 and 5 a.m. Monday, resulted in a range of problems.
Services statewide that were impacted include our wireless service, our local and long-distance service, some reports of video service being interrupted in southeast communities, some interruptions to internet services in the Anchorage area.
The transformer was replaced, and GCI reported that service returned to normal by about 4 p.m. on Monday. The city of North Pole is looking to fill a vacancy on the city council after Sharon Heading resigned. City Clerk Judy Binkley said the deadline to submit a resume, cover letter, and financial disclosure statement at City Hall is noon July 20th. According to Binkley, Heading cited personal reasons for leaving the North Pole Council. She had reportedly missed a few meetings, including the meeting on July 2nd. She submitted her resignation in a brief email to Binkley. Heading was elected in October and served 8 months in office, according to the clerk. Her successor will serve until a new council member is elected in the municipal elections on October 2nd. Qualified applicants must be registered voters with a year of residency in North Pole. Binkley said a special meeting is planned on July 23rd, where applicants will be interviewed by the City Council in the Council chambers. The North Pole City Council meets the first and third Mondays of each month. Members receive a $300 monthly stipend. Others who belong to the City Council include a police officer, Santa Claus, and a former city mayor. In other North Pole news, former Councilman Thomas McGee has signaled a possible run for North Pole mayor. Current Mayor Bryce Ward is ending his second term of office and plans to run for Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor. McGee is a businessman who has served multiple terms on the North Pole City Council. North Pole is currently the epicenter of growth for the borough due to a new fighter jet squadron being stationed at nearby Eielson Air Force Base in the coming years. For more on these stories and others, go to newsmatter.com or kyc.org. I'm Sam Friedman.